From Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio at Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains, it's time for O'Neill Outside. For anything in the outdoors, this is your source. Listen in and call the show with
Welcome, everyone.
Questions.
This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. Woman Williams is with me this morning. Corey and the gang are at WSB. Karen and Brian are in Peachtree City, and we're on the SB Nation Network. Seattle to L.A. to Miami to Maine, and we hope you'll join us in the program on WSB AM and 95.5 FM. This is the second hour of the Outdoor Show. It's live, and it is the largest, number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the country. And welcome to the program. We've got another hour. We have a lot of advice, your calls, and we'd love to have you involved in the program. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, or outside the Atlanta calling area is 800-972-8255, and you may contact us also at Facebook, O'Neill Outside, and leave your questions there. We'll be getting to those. We're brought to you by some wonderful people, Timbuktu Outdoors, Stripling's General Store, Arctic Ice Pack, Zach Brown's Southern Grind Knives, the Governor's Gun Club, Tough Shed, and some awfully good people, and they're always involved in the program, and we welcome that. One of the things I want to get to before we take our first break is, in the summer of 2020, on June the 14th, summer of 2020, O'Neill and Gale, and already a long list of people, are going to go to Alaska on a cruise to Alaska out of Seattle. We would love to have you join us. I've got some special pricing, special cabins, and I can tell you as a result of two other trips that we made to Alaska a few years ago, I can tell you that is one of the most beautiful weeks you'll ever spend. You agree?
I do indeed, but the date's wrong.
No, you said
June 14th.
June 14th.
You told me the
21st. Well, I lied the other day.
Yes, you did.
This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. We'll get to your calls and other subjects when we return. Welcome back. This is O'Neill Outside. We've had a lot of callers hanging on for quite a while. Let's just get to them, if you will. It's 12 after the hour. Let's first talk to Jim. And Jim is calling from a great little town called Monroe, Georgia. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, sir, Professor. How are you doing in the little lady?
You know how Monroe, Georgia got its name?
No, sir, but I'm always willing to learn something from you.
Okay, President Monroe, James Monroe. That's why it's called Monroe, Georgia.
All right.
I'm not sure of that. I just made that up.
Well,
typical fisherman.
You can tell I'm a fisherman and I'm lying because my lips are moving.
Well, you know, look at it this way: if you can't give them what they want, just dazzle them with whatever you can flow.
That's exactly right. I like that. What is your subject for today's call, Jim?
Well, my subject today is I need some help. I am having a wonderful opportunity of battling our four-legged diggers, the armadillo. The one thing I'm trying to do, and I'm thinking about doing, and this is just my scope on it, I want your opinion and your advice. Mm-hmm. I am thinking about going and getting some grub and fire ant and other stuff killer, because I know they eat fire ants. I know they dig for grubs. And I figure if I can remove some of that from the landscape and my yard, I'll do it. However, the other problem is when you do that, then you have root rot and other problems with your lawn and all, because they do help aerate from the underside.
Yes, they do. Well, the only thing I can tell you is what you can't do. I think your plan is probably one of the ones that will work to some degree. You can't poison them because it's too indiscriminate. I would only tell you maybe to seek some advice from somebody smarter than me, and there's a lot of those. What about telephoning the Georgia Department of Natural Resources? I'll bet they would have some advice for you, or would tell you to whom else you might speak. One of the fictitious things about armadillos, you know, they say don't handle them because you'll get leprosy. Remember that?
Correct.
Yeah, that's not true. That's not true. Go ahead.
I don't think, from what I've read so far, that they've had any cases of that in Georgia. And they've also, you know, it's very rare, but I think they said maybe a half a percentage sometimes will get rabies, but it's not passed to humans, because normally, yes, if they're startled, they jump straight skyward, and then it's off to the races. So,
yeah, that's an armadillo is an insectivore. You referred to it earlier. He's an insectivore. That's why he's covered in armor, so he can dig up yellow jacket nest and not get harmed from their stings.
Fascinating. Well, I tell you, look, they are a pain in some parts of the anatomy.
Yes, they are. Well, I would like to, for you to, whatever else that you find out about them, I haven't been any help to you. We don't have them up here in the North Georgia mountains. It's too cold. But they are infiltrating the greater Atlanta area in the countryside. Yes, indeed.
Well, we normally find one or two of them on Highway 11, mm-hmm, along with couple of spotted skunks and, of course, the striped skunks,
yes,
up and down. And, you know, the only other thing that I've been offered is that you can possibly, when you find where they are probably denning, is to put some ammonia down, because they don't like that. It takes away their smell.
That's good.
Capacity. You know,
it might be worthwhile to try. Have you tried that?
I haven't tried that yet. I was just waiting to see if there was something that was a little bit easier to do as far as trying to help rid them. And the only other thing I've come up with myself, nobody's recommended it, but is to poison for grubs and for fire ants and other insects, mm-hmm, that do inhabitate around the house. So,
well, if an armadillo is around the house and on your property, he's there for food. That's the only reason.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right. I didn't know.
He's there to get something to eat, and evidently you're providing it somehow.
Yeah, and you know,
they belong out in the woods.
Amen. A long way out in the woods. So,
yeah,
I appreciate
it.
Y'all have a great weekend.
You bet.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed talking with you again, Professor.
You bet. Well, check that out about why Monroe is called Monroe. I'd like to know. Okay.
I'll see if I can't do that. Thank you.
Please do. Let me know. Catch you later, pal. There you go. Now let's talk to, with the Ram Fishing Report from Lake Lanier, here's our old buddy, Mac. Mac Farr, Captain Mac, what do you say?
Good morning, everybody. Doing all right?
Good morning, indeed. How's the fishing on Lake Lanier? Is it productive?
It's very productive, O'Neill.
I'll bet.
Yeah, it's been great. We've had a great week of weather. Fishing's been good, all species. So, and then that's kind of what I'm hearing from not just on Lanier, but all other area lakes. I'm getting really good reports from anglers fishing for all different kind of things. So it's May. That's just a good month. That's a good month.
What's the water temperature at Lake Lanier, Mac?
When I came off yesterday, it was about 75 and a half.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's popped right up there. I guess that's one thing we need to talk about with people fishing, that you're going out this weekend. That's warm enough. Uh-huh. We're starting to see a lot of transition now. Still a lot of shallow fish, but we're starting to see a lot of fish finish up the spawn. And that's moving things around a little bit, but it's also making fish really active. We're starting to see some topwater, a little bit of schooling. We're starting to get some topwater bites, some fish to eat the topwater. I'm seeing more fish kind of move off on, particularly with the stripers. Coming out of some of that shallow stuff, moving out on more main lake stuff, saddles between islands, points and humps. So definitely making a little bit of a transition, but fishing's good. It's not slowed the bite down. It's just changing things a little bit. Yeah, no, it's great.
Well, it's good for everybody,
It is. It's going to be today will be a great day to fish. We got some rain coming, but man, if you can get out there before that rain, and I'll be lights out, and no reason why next week won't be just as good or better.
You bet. Well, outstanding Ram Fishing Report, Lake Lanier and all other Clearwater Mountain lakes like Lake Lanier from North Georgia to Western Carolinas, East Tennessee. I spoke to somebody this week from Douglas Lake in East Tennessee, and he said the striper fishing is outstanding.
That's a good lake, too. So, yeah, I'm sure they're seeing similar things. And so get your topwaters out. Live bait fishing's good. If you get in a situation here, maybe the wind starts blowing or late in the day or you run out of bait, you're live bait fishing. An umbrella is a really good secondary pattern right now. If you pull that over humps and shallow, long tapering points over a 15 to 20 foot bottom, that's been a good pattern. So lots of stuff's working. Just get out there and go fishing. It's time to go fishing.
Mighty fine. Mighty fine. Well, glad you called, pal. That's a great report. It was easy to do, wasn't it?
It's always a hoot. So I hope it helps somebody catch a fish today, and that makes it that makes it come full circle. So.
And take, when everybody has a cell phone with them, take plenty of photos. And I know that you do that, and you report on your website, don't you, about your fishing at Lake Lanier and all around.
Absolutely. We try and put some video up. And, of course, you can see an expanded version of this report every week at CaptainMax.com. But, yeah, take pictures. You'll be glad you did. You'll make a memory. It's in your brain, but it's good to share those around, and particularly if you got a kid with you. Make sure you get a picture.
That's right. You notice that every time you take a photo of a child holding a fish, the child is smiling.
That says volumes about fishing and what we do. And you're right. You see a kid holding up a fish with that big grin, doesn't get any better than that.
Yep, you bet. All right, I got to go, pal.
Everybody be safe.
Good luck to you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, O'Neill.
Yes,
you too.
Yes, ma'am. You bet. See you, pal. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have time for a question?
No, but I will just as soon as I get back. It's
okay.
22 after the hour. This is O'Neill. Karen will talk about me if I don't hit the timing right. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. 25 after the hour. Let's get to our calls if we can. Here's our good friend, Hank. Oh, are we back? Somebody telling me not to do something? Okay. Well, I guess we're Hank the Yank. What do you say?
Yeah, a little chicken fried for bumper music. That's good stuff. Can you hear me?
Hold on, Henry. Karen, I can hear you over the phone. Now, that took care of that. Okay, Henry, what do you say? What do you got to tell us this Saturday morning?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Good. Good morning. Good morning. Well,
good morning.
We fishing on Lanier has been good, just like Max said. The fly fishing bite is getting better every day. Water temps have warmed up 10 degrees in the last, 10 days. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
How that water temp can shoot up like a bullet, and that really moves the fish around a lot. So we're fishing, still fishing mostly sinking lines. And the fly this week that we used is the Game Changer. It's been really our best fly. It's a articulated bait. It's sort of like a fly fisherman Sabeel, if you will. That's what we're using. But anyway, what I really called to talk to you about was, did you get to look at that video we did last week? Hello?
No.
You didn't look at it?
Yeah. I mean, not yet. No.
Oh, my God.
Gail Williams keeps me busy.
She keeps you busy. Holy cow. Well, we debunked the banana on the boat theory last week.
Oh,
we
actually, that's right.
We actually went out and videotaped. We videoed catching a striped bass on a banana peel. We have that on our Facebook page. If you go to Henry Cowan on Facebook, you'll be able to see You'll be able to see that video that we used. It's also on Lake Lanier Fishing. But it was pretty silly.
I'm going
we sat
do that
there
this
and,
morning.
Yeah, we basically took a hook and cut the banana peel to look like a fluke, and this attached it and threw it into a dock light that had a lot of fish on it, and the fish ate immediately. So it was pretty silly stuff. But
you said you caught
it just goes
a,
to show
like
you.
A 10-pound striper on a banana peel?
Yes, we did. So
that's banana, fabulous.
Isn't that ridiculous? Just
that's
ridiculous.
Fabulous.
We were going to do aluminum foil. We were going to take a thing of Reynolds wrap and do the same thing. Just pull out some Reynolds wrap, pull it off a sheet off the container, and you know, fold it in half and, you know, make a cigar-looking piece of Reynolds wrap and put that on a hook and see if they do it. But then we decided that a banana would even be more fun. And I mean, we hooked up twice. It was just...
That's
you great. Know, when stripers get on dock lights, O'Neill, they are just as dumb as a rock. You know, it's unbelievable.
They're there to eat.
They're there to eat. When they're on dock lights, they want to eat. And so we had a lot of fun making it. We've gotten some nice feedback and whatnot. But otherwise, you know, I've got some friends talking about Tennessee. I've got some buddies fishing up on those lakes in Tennessee and the headwaters, you know, right where the lake, where the river kind of meets the lake, just where the running water kind of stops. And they said that the fishing up there in all those Tennessee lakes that have stripers have been just off the charts. I mean, and big fish, 30, 40-pound fish. Really good. I mean,
they're larger than the ones in Lake Lanier because the water's colder longer.
No question about it. No question about it. I think Tennessee may have the best striper fishing from a freshwater perspective in the country.
Could be.
So, all right, buddy. Well, that's all I got for you this week. That's, you know, just get out there and give it a whirl. And, you know, the fish should be transitioning to a little top water on the lake right now. We'll probably start seeing that today. Today you've got a prefrontal situation. You know, we've got rain and wind coming in this afternoon, tonight through tomorrow. So today is the day. You're on the front side of that weather system coming in, and the fish always, that barometer is going to start dropping, and those fish are going to start putting on the feed bag like there's no tomorrow. Today really should be just a fantastic day for anybody who can make the time to get out and fish.
You bet. It's a good observation, and it's all so true.
Yeah. Yep.
Falling barometer, you'll get bit.
No question about it. No question about it. Should be a really good morning on Lanier. And any of the other lakes around the country if there's a prefrontal system coming in. And that system is going to be, I mean, this is a giant weather pattern coming in. This is from the Gulf all the way up through the Northeast. This is one big system coming through. So anybody who can get on the front side of that system should have really good success today if they go out and fish. I hope Richard is listening. Richard in West Virginia, if it's going to rain, get your butt out there and get a rod out there and go catch yourself a fish today. You'll catch one. Even you'll catch one.
You bet. I'm going to talk to Richard in the next couple of minutes.
Okay, pal. Well, look, have a great weekend.
You bet. See you later, pal. There you go. And you had something left over from Facebook.
I did, yes. I believe it was Jonathan wanted to know if the bass are still bedding in North Georgia.
Yes, according to the temperature of the water, whatever lake you're fishing, yes, they are, but don't fish for them. Please, you know, observe, take a look, understand what's going on. Personally, I don't fish for largemouth when they're on the bed. Of course, you can say, well, I caught her off the bed and returned her to the water so she could go back to the bed, but you don't know that. And I would tell you that if you catch a female off the bed that and you remove her from her spawning process, then whatever lake you're fishing in, you just caught 1,000 12-inch bass. So in the interest of bass population, I do not, and I don't recommend that you fish for female largemouth bass on the bed. They're males all around there. Just catch them, because they probably deserve it. All right, is that okay? She's reading another question.
I'm sure it was just fine.
Okay. All right, so let's talk to Richard in West Virginia. My good friend Richard from West Virginia, how are you? Good morning, sir.
That's kind of interesting that, who was that, Hank the Yank, that mentioned my name?
Yes.
It really was, to think of something like that. But when you're fishing, whether it's in the, whether it's raining or it's not, I was just thinking, if you could get yourself a nice plump 3 or 4 inch night crawler and hook it through the head and put a little weight on it to fish like that in a pond, it seems like to me that should be the easiest way that a fish would look at something like that, a big old night crawler just laying there. Isn't that a good way to fish like that to catch bass?
Absolutely. Bass, brim, all kind of panfish will eat a earthworm or something of that, a red wiggler, a night crawler, absolutely. And the attraction to that bait is not just the action, but the smell. That's what attracts the fish to that bait.
But see, I was wondering.
Night crawlers, that's a wonderful bait for shellcracker.
Okay, I don't even know what a shellcracker is. I was just, what's that? Is that a southern fish? I never even heard of a shellcracker.
It's a southeastern fish, and for the untutored, if you were to catch one, a shellcracker, it looks like a great big brim. So unless you would know the difference, you wouldn't be able to tell. The shellcracker is more light-colored than a brim is. A brim's dark-colored. Shellcracker is light-colored. But he's bigger, by and large, than a brim is. But brim and shellcracker love night crawlers, and that's a good way to catch them.
Well, I've heard you talk about brim, but I don't know what that is either. Is that like a perch?
A lot of people would call a brim a perch, yes.
Okay, that's just the way they speak in the South, because maybe up here in the North.
Yeah, I mean, there's bluegill, there's night crawlers, bluegill, shellcracker, there's long-eared sunfish, and to the untutored, they all look the same. Just different.
Yeah, because I was just thinking, the one thing I was trying to make, hooking it through the head and leaving the one part there makes it more appetizing to a fish than hooking it through the head and the middle and the tail and making a ball out of it. I was just
thinking. That is correct.
That'd be the best
that
way
is
to
correct.
Do it.
Let him wiggle.
All right. Thanks,
let him
O'Neil.
Wiggle. Throw him out there on a sandy bottom. He'll get bit.
Okay. Thanks, O'Neil.
You bet. Appreciate you listening to the show, Richard, and hearing from you every week. I really do. And thank you. Let's see if I can make this thing work. Thank you, Richard. This is O'Neil with O'Neil Outside. It's almost 36 after the hour. And upon our return in 3 minutes, the very, very special portion of our program, and we'll get to that, and that is the Medal of Honor tribute. And I won't go through the reasons why that became a feature in the show. Maybe many of you already know that. But it is certainly the high point of the 2 hours of our programming on WSB AM 750 and 95.5 and the Sports Broadcast Nation and throughout Texas and Pennsylvania all the way to Maine via WEEI. So you guys stay right there. Medal of Honor is coming up when we return.
Oh, the winner less a cold.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neil Outside.
Francis Curry, Private First Class, Belgium, December 1944. German tanks advanced to the 3rd Platoon's position and after prolonged fighting forced the withdrawal of the group to a nearby building. Curry found a bazooka in the building, and in the face of small arms and machine gun fire, he knocked out a tank with one shot. Moving to another position, he observed three Germans in the doorway of an enemy-held house. He killed all three. He emerged from the cover and advanced along to within 50 yards of the house. Covered by friendly fire, he stood erect and fired a shot which knocked down half of one wall, killing several of the Germans. Five Americans had been pinned down for hours by fire from the house and three tanks. Realizing they could not escape, he secured anti-tank grenades, and while under heavy enemy fire, drove the tank men from the vehicles and allowed the five soldiers to escape. He then climbed into a half track in full view of the Germans and killed several. Deprived of tanks and with heavy infantry casualties, by his heroic and repeated braving of murderous enemy fire, Curry was greatly responsible for inflicting heavy losses in men and material on the enemy, rescuing the five comrades, two of which were wounded, and for stopping the attack. Francis Curry, Belgium, 1944. And he is now deceased.
You had a hard time with that one, didn't you?
I read them over and over and over again, and I can put myself in those positions.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because these guys sacrifice themselves.
Yep.
For their comrades.
And this is the thing about you reading that. I don't ever see you get like that.
No,
except when
I don't.
You're doing that.
I can't help it.
Yep.
So, okay, 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. We had someone contact us on Facebook and with a cure for the armadillos.
He's got a friend who has two German shepherds, and his yard is littered with armadillo corpse.
Those German shepherds will take care of the armadillos.
Yep.
In short order. Yeah. So.
Two German shepherds. There you go.
Yeah, there you are.
They have a friend for life.
That's a really smart dog. It's funny how I read about things a lot. The two smartest breeds of dogs that we know of. The two smartest. The smartest is a border collie, and the second is a French poodle. And I'm just say he can't help about his haircut.
That's right, he can't.
but he's really smart. Mm. And one of the dumbest.
You better not say what I think you're going to.
Well,
what?
I got that off of a television show when the guy was sitting. It was one of those dog shows, and he was sitting on a bench, a wooden bench, with a beagle next to him.
Oh, I thought you were going to say dachshund, and I was going to have to come across the table.
He was sitting on a bench with a beagle next to him, and he said that beagle was about as smart as the bench he was sitting on. Now, he may have been wrong. I don't know. I know that they should sure smell out and chase a rabbit. That's for sure. And Gail and I were watching a Discovery Channel show, and amazed to find that that skiers and snowmobilers and things of that nature who happen to be victims of a snow... what am I looking for?
Avalanche.
That the best tool that they have to find people who are buried in an avalanche quickly, it's a dog.
It's a dog, yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And he'll dig a little hole and stick his nose down into the snow and start howling. And this is where they are, right here.
Yeah.
Dig them out.
And they start just digging like crazy.
Digging like mad because they know that dog smells them.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about the dog starts digging like crazy when he
oh, yeah.
finds that there's a person there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's helping them.
Mm-hmm. He knows where they live. 46 after the hour, 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. It gives me the opportunity to remind you, because we have so many deer in neighborhoods all over the country, it's time for the fawns to be out. If you're on the road, you're walking in the neighborhood, taking a nature hike, whatever the case might be, and you see a fawn and think, oh, this poor little thing is lost. Mother has abandoned him. I guess I probably should take him home. No, you shouldn't. Mother is there close by. She has the fawn placed there for safekeeping. She may be off eating. She may just be taking cover because you're there. Don't, wildlife doesn't belong in your house. I don't know about the other states in the Southeast and across the country, but I can, well, a few. But I can tell you that white-tailed deer belong to the state. They do not belong to individuals. Now, I know in Texas and some of other places, you can own white-tailed deer. In Georgia, the minimum size for a high fence for you to keep them corralled, if you will, for whatever purposes, the minimum is 300 acres. I know I admittedly, on a couple of occasions a few years ago, I did hunt on a high fence. But I was fortunate enough to be friends with a man who had enough money to fence in 1,500 acres. So the deer didn't know there was a fence there.
Well, it wasn't to keep the deer in.
Correct.
Closed. It was to keep poachers out.
Well, that was in Africa. That was a high fence there, and I've forgotten how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres, but that was to keep the poachers out. I hunted a high fence near El Paso one time that was hundreds of acres, but that fence, I'm glad you brought it up, that fence was to keep the goats out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the goat eats, they eat, breed like mad, and they eat everything.
Mm-hmm.
So his program of raising big whitetails would have been put in jeopardy if the goats were to make their home there.
Of course, they wouldn't have any food.
Yeah, so 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Let's refresh my screen there. See if we have a call. We don't want to eliminate everybody. Oh, hey, here's Alan, and Alan is calling from LJ about armadillos again. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you,
Alan?
O'Neill?
Lovely. You got a cure for the armadillos, or what do you have to say?
Well, you know, about 5 years ago, first time I saw armadillo in East LJ, somebody had ran over it there on 52 Highway. But anyway, this past Wednesday morning, I had to stop in the road, and I live 5 miles above LJ, and let armadillo cross the road in front of me.
Oh, my goodness. They're that far north now.
Yeah, we do have armadillos.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. I haven't seen one. You know, we live near Amicalola Falls State Park here in the mountains, and I've yet to see one here. They're probably going up 75 or 575. They're going up that road.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, I know. About Burnt Mountain there. I've been all over that place when I was a boy. But, it's a wonderful place to live. But the armadillos, they're moving in on us.
Oh, boy. Well, the yellow jackets won't like it. And the nevertheless. They're harmless critters other than the fact that they dig up your yard.
Yeah, they make a mess. I grew up in Florida, so I know about the armadillo.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah. You got plenty of them down there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I thought I'd just let
I'm glad
let
you called,
you know
sir.
About that. Yeah, I appreciate it. Appreciate your show every Saturday morning as I going down the road to work, I listen at you.
Well, good. I appreciate you listening to the program and for your kind comments. It's always a thrill when somebody gives me a call and say they listen every week and they get something out of it. Most of the information, of course, comes from my guests, but it makes it fun. We've been doing it now for 28 years. Isn't that something?
That's amazing, isn't it? Time
yes,
gets
it is.
By in a hurry, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it's one day at a time. Thanks for calling, pal. Have a good week working here.
Thank you, Neil. Bless you.
You bet. See you later. There you go. There goes Alan. Calling from Ellijay, Georgia. What a great little town.
It is indeed.
Yes, Corey. Oh, he is. I didn't realize that. Well, that was Francis Curry, and he is not deceased. So that I'm proud.
That makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and maybe he can bask in the glory of his anticipated sacrifice.
Yep.
Yeah. There's only,
I
think I'm reasonably correct, and thank you, Corey. I'm reasonably correct. I think there's been only 1,500 awardees for the Medal of Honor.
Really?
All the way back to the Indian Wars, through the Civil War, and through all the wars that were involved with this country. 1,500.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's
many
and
heroes.
By about 60% of them died during that activity.
Mm-hmm.
Go visit O'Neill. I tell you what, visit if you'd like to further explanation. Check my figures, and just got advised that Sergeant Francis Curry is still alive, which thrills me. Then you can visit O'NeillOutside.com, and there on that home page, you scroll down and you will see the Medal of Honor emblem, and you can click on that and get the full archive, all of the stories. As a matter of fact, we watched, there's on television, it must be the History Channel, I don't remember, but they have dramatic television productions of the men who won or was awarded the Medal of Honor. You don't win it. No.
You receive it.
You receive it. You are awarded the Medal of Honor.
Where did you get that information?
From there. That I had failed to make a note whether he was alive. And, you know, this was 1944.
Oh.
You know, okay. 70 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was at least 20 years old.
Well, that generation
is passing. So I assumed he was probably deceased. But yeah. I stand corrected. And I'm happy about that.
Me too.
Yeah, you bet. So, okay, we've got to take a break here. Mike Hayes is not calling this morning, but we are now switching over to a live spot from Woman Williams.
Yes, Mike is not calling today, so since buying a car, new or used, is the second largest purchase you will ever make, it's important to pick a dealer with history, integrity, and reputation. Hayes dealerships epitomize these attributes. So, over the next few weeks, I'm going to tell you about the history of Hayes. Hayes Automotive is made up of 5 dealerships in North Georgia. The company has been family-owned and operated for over 40 years. Being guided by the same philosophy all this time has kept them in business even during hard times. All the stores are healthy and ready to continue to provide great service for their customers for years to come. So, here's how it started. In the early 50s, A.D. Hayes bought a gas station with a couple of service bays in the Atlanta area and began what would become Hayes Auto Service. His father, C.A. Hayes, came on board in 1954 as a working partner in the business. In 1956, following a stint in the military, A.D.'s brother, Donald, joined the Hayes Auto Service team. Soon, the brothers expanded their facilities to 10 service bays. Excuse me. And before long, Hayes Auto boasted 30 employees and many, many customers. The seeds for something much larger had been sown. So, next week, I'm going to tell you a little more about that and tell you how Hayes dealerships is the definition of family. And in the meantime, if you'd like to, check out Hayes at HayesChrysler.com or just call them at 1-800-GO-HAYES.
You bet. We want to squeeze in the remaining 2 minutes, a couple of calls. Albert is calling from, just a moment, let me get you, bring you up there, Albert. Albert is calling from New Hampshire. Good morning, Albert.
Hey, O'Neill, how you doing this morning?
Good, good. Glad to hear from you, sir.
Good, thank you. Thank you for having your show up here. First, I want to just confirm we have no armadillos here in New Hampshire, so I have not confirmed any sightings of them. So that's
There's
good.
Something good about that.
Yeah, that's good. So pretty cold. So trout ponds are open up here. Fish are biting. Merrimack River's got some trout in it. So anybody who's listening up here in the Northeast, get out there and get some fishing done. So I haven't caught any yet, but I've been fishing, and I know they're out there because they're staring at me through the water. So there's a little Northeast.
Here's a tip. Here's a tip for you for trout fishing. Ready?
Yes.
Wear camo.
That's a good one,
huh? They can't see you as well.
So my fluorescent green jogger outfit isn't going to work, huh?
That'll work. Don't ever wear anything white. They can see you.
Nice.
Glad you called, pal. I got to go. Call next week, Albert, earlier in the show. Would you do that?
Thank you, sir. I will.
You bet. There you go. And lastly, if I got time for this, I'll make time. Quickly then, let's talk to Tucker in Alabama. Good morning, Tucker. Is Tucker there from Alabama?
Is this you, O'Neill?
Yes, it is. You better hurry.
All right, O'Neill, I'll make it quick. I live over near Norris Lake. I want to take my grandchildren fishing. What type of fish is over there?
Crappie, or the lake is loaded with crappie and brim, and it's time to go get them.
Is it good for the grandchildren?
Yes, sir. Start out right there at the dock, and go up to where that bridge crosses the lake.
I know exactly where it is.
Both sides of that bridge is outstanding. All right, I got to go, pal. Call earlier next week.
Take care, and
You bet. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside with Woman Williams, Karen Green, Brian Green, and the staff at WSB. And thanks for calling, everybody. And keep this in mind. If you're too busy to go fishing and take a kid along, you're too busy. See you next week.